All right. Well, welcome back to Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery here at republicbroadcasting.org. It is August the 8th in the year of the Lord, 2023. And, you know, they're still trying to violate the law. They're trying to violate a greater law in order to stop certain kinds of crime like this. What they're trying to do is disarm the American public. And I call a lot of this stuff disarmament terrorism, the use of terror to disarm the American people. But anyway, what I'd like to do is I've been watching the news. There's a new news item out. This came out, it was published August the 7th. That was yesterday, 2023. At 5:02 a.m., it's by Josh Margolin, Ismail Estrada, and Jenny Wagnon Quartz. And this is a ABC News story. It's the title of it is Medical Probe into Whether Police Inaction Contributed to Any Deaths in the Uvalde Shooting is at a Standstill. Well, I'm going to read some of this to you. We're going to talk about it, and then we're also going to talk about why it's at a standstill. So I'm going to start quoting this article here. Quote, 14 months after a school shooting left 21 dead in Uvalde, Texas, the investigation into whether law enforcement inaction might have contributed to the deaths of any of the victims has yet to make any progress, according to the official leading the review. The Texas Department of Public Safety, which conducted the criminal investigation into the rampage at Robb Elementary School, tapped a panel of five medical experts to perform a, quote, casualty analysis, unquote, to determine whether any of those killed at Robb might have survived if any police, first aid, and medical assistance had reached them sooner. Nearly 400 law enforcement officials were assembled, waiting more than an hour before ending the attack. Well, now, I didn't know that. I'm interjecting now. I didn't know that there was that many law enforcement. If the 400, that's almost the probably would be the population of the school. So this is amazing. And this comes on the heels of Sandy Hook and all these other school shootings. That it takes that many law enforcement officials to do something? I mean, you know, it looks like you could just run a truck in there or something, you know? I mean, just get a bulldozer and drive the damn thing into the building. They tear them down anyway when they have this happen. The idea, I would think, from now on, since they always tear the school down after a shooting and build a brand new one with lots of dollars, they ought to, from now on, the way to do this is you just drive a bulldozer in there and everybody's behind the big blade and that's the end of it. And you take out the shooter. I mean, there ain't no fooling around. You know, just have a guy bring the bulldozer over and drive through the school, walls and all. Okay. Well, continuing here with this article. Although the panel was assembled last year, its leader said the group has yet to receive the records required to conduct their assessment. I'm going to tell you why that's happened coming up. But continuing with the article, it's been months, said DPS Chief Medical Officer Dr. Mark Escott, who heads up the panel. Quote, and the most important piece of evidence are the autopsies, and I don't have any of those, end quote. Escott said that his team has not received hospital and EMS records for the victims. By contrast, he said, the DPS records, including school security videos showing the victims and their injuries, were turned over quickly last fall. Well, I'm interjecting here. How could it show the injuries it couldn't show them very accurately, I wouldn't think, from school security videos. Wouldn't show individual people and their injuries. But anyway, that's what it says. Okay, continuing the article. An Austin City spokesman told ABC News that Escott, who is the EMS medical director for the city of Austin, in addition to his position with DPS, was barred from answering additional questions at the direction of the Uvalde County District Attorney Christina Mitchell, who is overseeing the criminal investigation into the Uvalde shooting. The spokesman referred questions to the DA, who declined to comment. Wow. So even the parents now, the victims, are being stonewalled with information about the deaths of their children. Continuing with the article, news of the delay has been met with disappointment and surprise in Uvalde. Quote, we have to continue to fight for Jackie, and we need the justice for them, and I don't think the healing process is even going to begin if we don't have that, unquote. Gloria Cazares, whose daughter Jackie was killed at Rob, told ABC News correspondent John Quinones. Quote, it's hard because I'm tired of missing her, unquote, Cazares said. And it's hard because you feel disappointed in yourself, too, because I feel like I haven't done enough for her. I haven't. She deserves it. She deserves justice. Well, you know, I'm interjecting here. We all deserve justice. This all needs to come out. We need to know about all these school shootings, and especially this Sandy Hook thing. This Sandy Hook thing has never been to trial on the real evidence of it or anything about it. And it's only been these very peripheral things. Like a piece of paper, a death certificate, whether or not it was legitimate or not. And all the issues were limited to just whether this piece of paper was authentic or not. I don't even know how you could prove it. Just and even a scan of a piece of paper, really, you know, I mean, you didn't even have the paper. You had a partial scan of a paper. Well, in my mind, if it's a death certificate, it has to be able to do something. It has to be probatable. And I believe the question in the Sandy Hook of Dr. Fetzer trial should have been, is that piece of paper he talked about, is that a probatable death certificate? And if it is not, then it's fake. It's no good. It's a useless, worthless piece of paper. Doesn't prove anything. It would have to be probatable, because that's what a death certificate is. It performs a function. And if that particular piece of paper that he talked about and said was a fake, if that piece of paper was not probatable, then it is flat. He's flat right, no matter what he might have said or thought about it. It's still true that the thing is not probatable. It's not exercisable. You can't do anything with it. And so, in other words, the only way that he could have said that anything short of a real certified copy of or the actual death certificate, if it would be fake. And they've allowed that thing to grow into a ridiculous some kind of bizarre thing with all kinds of bad rulings throughout it. And now we're right back into this. There's no information. You know, you have the big shooting out here we had in Texas at the church, Sutherland Springs, you know, and you can't get any information on that either. I mean, that's all, you know, you asked for it. Mark Anderson asked for information. All he got was 11 pages of redacted stuff with a few phone numbers of sheriff deputies on there. I mean, this is unacceptable. When people are being murdered in groups like this, this should be all public knowledge. There shouldn't be any guesswork whether it happened. We don't even have proof, really, that these things are happening. I mean, just because some reporter says something, shows up and talks to a few people, that's not proof of anything. It's just a story. Well, anyway, I'm going to continue with this article. Jackie Cazares was one of the 19 fourth graders and two teachers who were killed when a gunman stormed Robb Elementary on May 24, 2022. Police and federal law enforcement officials quickly descended on the location 80 miles west of San Antonio, but there was a 77-minute wait for police to stage a counter-assault, a delay that's been criticized by experts, including the head of the Texas DPS, as an outright violation of modern police procedure that dictates responding officers must run toward gunfire in an active shooter incident. Okay, in Jackie's case, her parents told ABC News that they were told Jackie had a pulse when she arrived at Uvalde Memorial Hospital with a gunshot wound to the chest. Based on what they've been told about her injuries and the extent of the blood she lost, they believe Jackie could have survived if police had moved more quickly to stop the massacre. As investigative reports and police recordings later revealed, officials were aware that some of those injured were still alive inside classrooms as the minutes ticked away. The Texas Rangers, an elite unit of the DPS, conducted a sweeping investigation into the incident, trying to determine whether any law enforcement officials could be held criminally liable for their decisions or actions that day. Prosecutors plan to bring the case to a grand jury for a determination on whether to proceed with criminal charges. The expert panel led by Escott was tapped to go beyond normal criminal investigations to determine whether lives could have been saved by faster action and what lessons, if any, could be learned by first responders dealing with mass shootings in the future. Oversight of the panel moved from DPS to the DA's office earlier this year, as DPS was completing its probe and preparing to turn it over to the prosecutor. Okay, in an interview earlier this year, Scott Dufree, a special assistant district attorney working on the case, told ABC News that he could not, quote, comment on the causation between the inaction and the subsequent deaths of the children and the two adults, unquote. Quote, that is really, you know, the whole point of the investigation, and that would be part of what's presented to the grand jury, unquote, Dufree said. Documents obtained by the Austin City officials show that requests for records connected with the Uvalde investigation date back to November. Emails from the spring show that Escott tried repeatedly to set up meetings in Uvalde to move his investigation forward. On April the 11th, District Attorney Mitchell wrote that she would not be able to meet with Escott until June because, quote, the one-year anniversary of the shooting with all its expected press and protesters, da-da-da, is taking precedent over all of our time and energy right now. Okay, well, this just goes on and on and on and on, but it doesn't go anywhere. Now I want to return to what is some of the holdup on this? Well, I can tell you it's obvious here. Here's another story right here. See the date of this. This is came out on November the 7th, 2022. It's a CNN story. It's by Shimon Pope, I can't say it, and Mitchell Watson, Michelle Watson. And it says here, quote, a Texas district court judge in Uvalde has sealed autopsy reports of those killed during the Robb Elementary School mass shooting in May. Well, there you go. It's sealed up. Now, so isn't this just more of this, you know, you got the governor, he's going to go down and he's going to block the immigrants, the illegal aliens from coming in. Then you have the president, he comes down there and tears up the barricades. And now you got the people going to investigate Robb Elementary, and then you have another group that comes out and blocks the investigation. I mean, really? I don't think any of this is supposed to work like this. Well, Judge Camille Dubose of the 38th District Court on Friday ordered the records be sealed and provided to the local district attorney, quote, for the purpose of assisting in the investigation and potential prosecution or prosecutions, unquote, connected to the ongoing investigation. Well, it appears here that she only sealed it to the public, not sealed to other investigators or other government officials. But apparently that's what's happened, because other government officials are not able to get these. In a motion to seal the records, prosecutors had argued the autopsies could reveal information that authorities need to preserve until the investigation into the shooting is completed. Okay, so apparently they're going to investigate this whole thing. Well, I could read some more of this, but it looks like a lot of it's a repeat of the stuff that's I've already talked about. So I'll take calls after this, next break coming up here. But, I mean, this is, there's just too much a cover-up. And even in one of these articles, it mentioned that they were accused of covering up information, a cover-up going on in Uvalde. And that's what some of these political officials are saying, office holders. Well, yeah, I tend to agree. The public cannot get any information about this thing, any of these shootings, and it's all presumably based on keeping protecting the family's privacy and all this. But it is also creating an environment for the continuance of these things to go on, because we never really learn about what is going on. But anyway, stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Billy man, come on. 6 o'clock news, say somebody been shot. Somebody's been abused. Somebody blew up a building. Somebody stole a car. Somebody got away. Somebody didn't get too far. Yeah. They didn't get too far.
All right. All right. Welcome back to Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery here at republicbroadcasting.org. I see we already have a caller, and we'd be happy to take them in just a moment. I just want to add that I believe that the surge of so-called mass shootings has developed simultaneously with the desire to disarm the American people against the law of the land. And it should be unlawful even to approach the stoppage of these mass shootings by the creation of another, by the violation of another larger crime. To disarm the American people and make them vulnerable to abject tyranny is the worst crime that could possibly be committed. And they're using these so-called mass shootings as a reason to disarm the American people. I guess they're trying to show that the American people are not worthy to be armed. They're stupid and ignorant and are not worthy of self-defense, or to defend their communities, or to defend their loved ones, or their home, or their land. And it should be, I believe it should be against the law to advocate disarmament of the American people just I believe it's against the law to advocate the murder of somebody. Well, because that's what a violation of the law, isn't it? There's a law that you don't murder people. Well, it's also a law that you don't disarm people. So they should be treated the same. If you go around advocating murder of somebody, you should be thrown in jail. And if you go around advocating the disarmament of the people, you should also be thrown in jail. There has to be a solution that doesn't involve a greater crime. You can't solve one crime by creating a larger crime, by committing a larger crime. That just doesn't work. Well, anyway, we have Laura from Michigan. How are you doing? Are you there, Laura? You still with us? Laura from Michigan.
Oh, there we go.
Hi
there.
I hear you. I hear you.
Okay, good. I always wondered about that plane that landed just before the shooting started, and after the shooting went finished, that plane took off.
A plane. Yeah, you're talking about that was it, Rob, in Uvalde?
Uvalde, uh-huh.
Yeah, there was some kind of plane that took off. It landed before the shooting, right before the shooting, and took off right after the shooting, right?
Yes, nobody's mentioned it. See, it's been forgotten.
Yes, I have forgotten that. Interesting that you brought that up. I didn't know
a lot
about it, but there's always some kind of suspicious stuff, and nobody ever. What's amazing to me is you come up with all these. Even the public has to solve their own crimes, like 9/11. Yeah, we find out that whether it's the sole cause of the demolition of the World Trade Center or not, we've certainly found that there's super nano thermite in it, and it shouldn't have been there. And that can bring down buildings, and it can be used in many different ways. So when it's submitted to the public and made known, does any government officials anywhere investigate that? Not at all. No law enforcement investigates anything. I mean, we really don't have a country. We don't have a border. We don't have an investigative force. We don't have. We're just floating along here at the mercy of those who have overthrown it.
Right. If you really want a tyrant, just take away the guns, you know? Then we'll see what tyrants are.
Yeah, and that's why they want to take away our guns, because they know if whatever we find out and expose all that they've done, that people aren't going to be very happy about that, and they're not going to want to be under that kind of tyranny any longer. And that's what they're scared of. They can't. The thought of us being armed and being able to obtain lawful government and remove tyranny scares them to death, and they should be scared to death of that. I'm glad that they are. But they still shouldn't be trying to take our arms. That's against the law. It's against God's law.
They're afraid of the pushback.
Yeah,
sooner or later.
Stay with us, Laura, and another caller, and we'll be right back after this.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
I like that song. You don't know the shape I'm in. Yeah. Okay, Laura, have you got any more things to say?
Well, I was just thinking, were there obituaries for the children?
Uh huh.
And did anybody you know attend a funeral?
Yeah. See, I don't know. I don't know anything about any funerals or who or if anybody attended or any of that.
That's a normal thing. We'd know all the obituaries.
You're asking me, do I know anything about the attendance at funerals and any of that?
Right.
Yeah, I don't. Unless somebody kind of does a report on it, but what does that even mean? I mean, this could be all street theater. I mean, anybody can go to a building and a few people sit in a row and call it a funeral. You know, I mean, I don't know what that proves. I believe ultimately they're going to have to release autopsies and actual photographs of these crime shootings. I believe. And see, that's what I put in this bill I proposed, and I've sent this to Biden and our governor and others, that when any time that a mass shooting is used as a reason to disarm the American people, to alter the Second Amendment. It should be mandatory that all investigative material be made public, even including photographs of the crime scene itself. Now, if they're not going to use it to alter the Second Amendment, it can remain private because it doesn't harm everybody. But when a crime is used to harm everybody in America by disarming them, it should be mandatory that all of this be made public.
That would be a good question to give to anybody who's running for president. If anybody goes to a town hall, that's an excellent question to ask them.
Yes, yes, it would be. In fact, I guess I could send that to the presidential candidates, both Democratic and Republican and whatever else. I have a feeling even Kennedy would support that, and Trump too. I believe both of those guys would support that.
Well, it'd be good to find out.
It would be. That's a good idea. I'm glad you brought that up. I know Biden isn't going to do it, you know.
No, he's a waste of time.
Yeah, he's gone. But anyway,
you do with him is send him a banana. Banana Republic.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. Banana Republic. That's what he wants. That's what he's working for. And he's almost accomplished it. Yeah. All right,
thanks,
Laura.
Thanks for taking my call, Ron.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Yes, you bet. All right, we got another caller from Michigan. Dave, how are you doing? You there, Dave? I bet you're... It was a different Dave. I got Dave from Michigan here.
Yeah, from Massachusetts one?
Oh, okay. Well, it was just Julie wrote a different one here. That's okay. Well, how are you doing?
Ron.
Yes.
It says here.
Let me clarify this for everybody. Dave did call from Michigan, but he dropped. Okay. Go ahead, David.
Oh, okay. I hope he didn't drop dead.
Me too. Yeah. I don't want any of our callers to drop dead. We need all of our friends here.
Because, you know, the motto in talk radio is talk until you drop.
That's right.
In this talk radio, after everything is said and done, there's a hell of a lot more said than done.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm no different from anybody else. The whole catch here is what can any of us individually do, even if we have a talk show? I mean, it's we're all very limited in what we can ultimately do. But eventually, if we just keep doing this and keep working on things to do, like I said, I got a bill here. I think it's a killer bill. If any of these tyrants would like to really try to stop these mass shootings, and see, what I think is the key here is that if you prevent the disarmament of the American people to happen as a result of mass shootings, it gets rid of the purpose of mass shootings, because that ultimately, I believe, is the purpose of these mass shootings, is to disarm the American people. I think that's there's so much money behind the disarmament of the American people. I believe that they figured out that they can put a lot of money into some weird events to make events happen. And rather than to try to buy off legislators. And it's quicker and faster, I just think that's the new plan.
Yeah, Ron, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of strategic inaction? It's a policy. It's a police department policy. It's called the policy of strategic inaction. Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't, but I believe that people do use that, try to make people ineffective or neutralize.
Let me explain what it is. That's not what it is.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what it is when people, when people call the police and everything, the police have to show up. But the strategic inaction, say it's a white person that's being victimized by Black Lives Matter or the Antifa, or say it's like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, for example, taking down the statue of Christopher Columbus in the north end of the city of Boston. What it is, the police have to show up, but they practice the policy of strategic inaction. They're oath breakers. They don't enforce the law, and they stand down and they actually side in with the lawbreakers, with the Antifa thugs and the Black Lives Matter thugs against the white victims. It's called strategic inaction. It's called, and this Quincy Police Department in Quincy, Massachusetts is using it on me. You wouldn't believe the nightmare I'm going through, Juan. I wish Mark Anderson would get in touch with me and do an interview with me for the American Free Press.
Sure.
I'll give you an example of strategic inaction. A couple of years ago, when that leftist mayor, that Marxist mayor Walsh, Marty Walsh, they always want to. RBN, a lot of these Jew-it-alls in RBN always want to talk about the Jewish people. And the Jewish people are scum. But I'm Irish-American, Ron, and I don't want to talk about the Jewish people. I want to talk about Irish power. I want to talk about I don't want to talk about Jewish power. This crap, Jewish power. I want to talk about Irish power. They want to talk about Jewish scum. I want to talk about Irish scum. Now, I'm back here in the city of Boston, but I'll give you an example of strategic inaction. A couple of years ago, when some Irish scum mayor, Marty Walsh, and he went to be Secretary of Labor in Biden's administration, and now he's got this job with the National Hockey League or something. He's out of the Biden administration now. He's out of this hockey thing or something up in Canada or anything. But anyways, when he was mayor, and of course, Donald Trump was persona non grata in Boston. Marty Walsh tried to keep him out of Boston, couldn't discuss any business in Boston, and he made it a sanctuary city. But anyways, the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa thugs showed up in the North End, the traditional Italian section of Boston, the North End, and there was a beautiful statue of Christopher Columbus. And of course, Christopher Columbus to the Italians is what St. Patrick is to the Irish.
Absolutely.
Just like St. Patrick is every Irishman's hero and everything, Christopher Columbus is every Italian American's hero.
Well, now wait a minute. Isn't he weren't we all taught that he discovered America? I mean, come on. I mean, he's the guy that kind of founded the whole thing, right?
Ron. And so anyways, Ron, I'll give you an example of strategic inaction. So these thugs started taking down the statue, just like we saw over in Iran. They made sure we saw the people, the scum over in Iran, taking down the statue of Saddam Hussein. They made sure.
Well, they've been doing that here in Texas too, all around, taking down civil war statues of the Southern generals and stuff.
So
go
let
ahead.
Me finish. What happened? I'm giving you an example of strategic inaction. So these loyal, patriotic Italians called the police. The police showed up. This Boston police showed up, and they have this policy of strategic inaction, and they're in bed with Black Lives Matter and Antifa, because Black Lives Matter and Antifa have leverage over them, because they spearheaded the defund the police movement and the abolish qualified immunity movement and everything. So do you know that the Boston police stood down and some loyal Italian men, some loyal red-blooded Italian men, they're great men, and these are tough guys. I grew up with Italian kids, and they're tough kids and everything, you know. But do you know they tried to save Christopher Columbus, the statue? They tried to save it and prevent Black Lives Matter and Antifa from taking it down, because the police wouldn't do a thing. But then the police sprang into action when these great Italian Americans tried to save Christopher Columbus, and they were tasering them and macing them and putting their knee on their neck just like Floyd up in the, you don't hear about that when these white race trader pigs put their knee on a white man's neck. You don't hear about that. So sure enough, they took down Christopher Columbus's statue when they took these great Italian Americans to jail, charging them with all disorderly conduct and all kinds of, resisting the police and resisting arrest and everything else, you know. And the last I heard, the Christopher Columbus statue was collecting dust in some warehouse. And but the last I heard that was shortly after they took it down, which was like a couple of years ago. And it's supposed to be in a warehouse and everything. But the strategic inaction,
I want to say something about this strategic inaction. I love the term, and I now see what you're talking about. Yeah. But it also seems like what they got is another one called strategic selective action. So they select who they're going to work for, who they're going to protect, and who they're not going to protect.
One, let me give you another example that just popped into my head. There's a wonderful lady, and she's well-known in the patriot community, Michelle Malkin. Michelle Malkin. You know who Michelle Malkin is, right?
Yes, I do.
Yes, because she wrote the famous book about the Border Incorporated, all about the illegal immigration. Do you know she had to retire? She had to retire, Ron, and she's out of public life because she always had rallies. And, for example, out in Denver, she was attacked by Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and they were actually manhandled her. They actually had their hands on her, pushing her around and choking her and everything else. And those Denver pigs, those Denver oath-breaker, race-traitor Denver pigs, stood down and wouldn't even protect Michelle Malkin, that wonderful Filipino-American. Everybody loves Michelle Malkin, but those... You can just bet there was, those, and I call them, they're race traitors, they're traitors to their oath, they're traitors to our country. And I want to tell people, I'll leave you with this thought one. All this crap, we're going to be occupied by UN troops. Let me tell you, we're already occupied by all these government gunmen, these government gunslingers. They're all over the place. I'm sick
you're
of
right.
looking at them. I'm sick of, yeah, we're already occupied with these government gunslingers, government gunmen. And you ought to hear the story of how my family was disarmed, Ron. I don't have time in this call. Ron, would you possibly be able to have Mark Anderson get in touch with me?
Sure.
Should I leave my phone number with Julie? I think Republic Broadcasting already. Oh, I guess kind of, I think I have a relatively new number that maybe Republic Broadcasting doesn't have. If I leave my number with Julie, you think Mark would give me a buzz?
Absolutely, yeah. We'll call you and talk to you. He will, for sure.
You should interview me. What's going on with me, Ron? I'm being terrorized. It's unbelievable. My life is being destroyed up here. Ever since every American should hear my story of what I'm going through, and I'll tell you how my family was disarmed. It's disgraceful.
I hate to hear that. I didn't know you were under that kind of. You didn't sound like that many times, but unless you tell somebody, we don't know. You know,
Ron, I'll try to send you. I have copy. I have pictures I took of my room. I had a beautiful library. They just destroyed. They destroyed my room and all my books. Tipped over all my bookshelves. And then they had these bastards that this court gave them protection orders against me, so I couldn't go back to my... Anyways, I lost my whole library. And then I'll tell you what they did to my father's gun collection. And these race trader pigs, these white race trader Irish pigs, there's no loyalty there, because my father was the top fire chief inspector for the whole city of Boston. For years, he was responsible for the fire safety of every Boston public school, every Boston public library, the Boston City Hospital, all the Boston government buildings up on Beacon Hill. They call it Bacon Hill. And he was, for years, he was responsible.
That's fantastic.
And he was a sportsman. He hated this liberal Massachusetts, but he had to live in Boston. You have to live within the city limits if you're on the fire department. But we used to go up to New Hampshire, live to your die with every chance we got and everything. But what a story. My father had this thousands and thousands of firearms. And when my father passed away, but I, I won't keep going, but what a story that Mark could have in American Sea Press if he interviewed me. Every American should hear my story.
Well, sure, do that. We got to take a break now coming up here in about 3 seconds. But thank you for calling. Leave your phone number, and I'll have Mark call you, and we'll do an interview of you. Fantastic.
Okay, thanks, Ron. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
This old man and me were at the bar, and we were having us some beers and swapping night on cares, talking politics, blonde and redhead chicks, old dogs and new tricks and habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace, all the hell we raised. Then I heard the old man say, God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy.
Yeah, you gotta love that song. God is good. Oh, God is great. Beer is good. People are crazy. I love it. And he's dead on, isn't it? Well, you know, you don't know people until you kind of hear them out some more. Kind of surprised to hear what David's background is there in Massachusetts, and his father there being head of the fire department for the whole area of Boston and all around there. Pretty amazing. And, and he, you know, he drives a cab. Who would think that a cab driver has this big, large library? You know, that's pretty neat. And so, anyway, I'm kind of amazed at what you learn about people here. And also, I want to thank Laura for calling in and reminding me about this plane that landed in there in Uvalde, and then had this. There was a mass shooting, and then this plane takes off again. Not that there's really anything to that, but there could be. You know, if we had an investigative body that would be interested, mildly amused by that, you know. But I'm afraid that we just don't, we have this, what David calls the policy of strategic inaction, which is, you know, obviously unlawful. That's just, but it's a policy. And even how about the policy of selective inaction, where not only a police may be called, they show up and they're acting, they're doing something, but it's ineffective. But what happens when they also show up and then abuse the wrong party, like a selective inaction or a selective action? So none of those are lawful. Everybody is equal under the law, and things are supposed to be protected, even property. But anyway, so I encourage everybody to look at my bill, too. They might find it very interesting on how to stop and prevent disarmament terrorism, which is what these mass shootings are. And so you go to lawfulgovernment.com. Click on that Minuteman in the middle, and then that pops up right in the middle, and you scroll down to where it says it right there. It has a little link to it. It says Stop Disarmament Terrorism Bill.pdf. Well, anyway, thank you. I think I ran out. I'm 10 seconds over. So, okay. We'll see you Thursday. Thank you.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.